And warm them up first. Send a basket of pears to Marshall Fields. The one thing Dan likes is a nice pear.
This guy.
Oh. Can I add melons to that?
Melons.
And coconuts.
Yeah, can I get yams?
Hey, find your own joke, shorty. The booby bit is mine. I would like to add some cans of milk.
Yeah, and some jugs of cream.
That's it, pally. You just ordered yourself up a knuckle sandwich.
This is the Extra Hot Grade Podcast, episode 65 for the week of April 6th, 2015. I am sexy garbage alley David T. Cole, and I'm here with Five Martini Lunch, Sarah D. Bunting.
Listen. I love you guys.
Accordion virtuoso, Tara Ariano.
Quit looking at my squeeze box. My eyes are up here.
And Hershey's aficionado, John Ramos.
I'll never grow a mustache.
Oh, it's so nice for me to be back. Hello,
Yay!
Everyone. And we are joined by our esteemed colleague and Mad Men expert, John Ramos. John, welcome back.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello, John.
Thank you. Hello, everyone.
John, I just want to say, just before Tara gets it, before Sarah gets into it, that I'm going to be pressuring you all through this episode to reinstate the promo prognostication feature for Mad Men. Just so you know, so you're aware.
Okay. All right. I will take that under advisement.
All right.
Speaking of things that are oft repeated, the same phrase doesn't pay is still in effect. So keep an ear out. Mm-hmm. Keep guessing.
Yep.
In the episode thread in our forums.
What is this, week three?
This is week three, yes.
All right. So, Mad Men, if I may, mm-hmm. I'd like to begin with the completely sincere but also very dry comment voiced by my husband immediately after the episode ended, to wit, and I quote, "Traditionally, scenes have a beginning, a middle, and an end." Anyone else have any thoughts on that? Because I really couldn't argue with, like, he was sincerely baffled that he's like, the dawn scenes, what?
I mean, they ended in the middle of something,
just the shapeless,
yeah,
pointless meanderness.
I was
of them.
A little bit nonplussed by the audition scenes and where that was going and what exactly was going on. I realized the first one was a bit of a setup for the audience, but after that, I'm like, But did Dan, your husband, further pontificate on this?
No, he just wondered. I mean, he hasn't been watching it all along.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he's like, is this sort of a hallmark of the show that it's this sort of self-regarding and slow? And I said, well,
kind of.
Wasn't always. And it's not true in all the scenes. And then he wondered if it was just him or if waitresses wouldn't really talk like that. And I said, it's not just you.
Well, waitresses that read John Dos Passos while they're working might.
I guess.
I don't know.
I don't either.
I hate that actress, so I was throughout all her scenes,
me
I was
too.
Like, this bitch, so irrational. Sorry, Elizabeth Reaser, but you know what you did? She doesn't know. Even I don't know. I just don't like her. John, what did you think?
Of Elizabeth Reaser or just generally?
No, in general.
Well, I have thoughts on both. I would say I saw on Twitter, and I registered this too, that the episode had a kind of a very dreamlike quality. So I think the shapelessness of the scenes might have spoken to that. That's not an excuse. I'm not saying I liked it, but maybe that's a stylistic thing that they were going for. And I would also say that I think going back to probably, like, unless you go all the way back to season two, I think the premieres have been the weakest episodes of this show. So I wasn't entirely surprised. The other thing I would say, I think, you know, unless you go all the way back to, like, season two, I think the premieres have generally been some of the weakest episodes of the show. I don't think it's great at getting out of the gate. There seems like it's so much set up and really not much happening, and it's probably a function of it, you know, time jumping every season, and there's so much table setting to do. But I mean, yeah, I agree. I found it slow and kind of shapeless, and there was some interesting.
It was mostly
stuff,
the Dawn scenes, though, that I had a problem with that, and honestly, the whole like Joan has to, you know, face sexism and comments about her boobs, like. I don't know. I mean, I get it. I liked the fight they had. I thought that was interesting. But I just feel like we're going back over this ground again. Like,
yeah,
now she's mad? I don't know.
If the thing at the end with her and Peggy is going to be the point of that and they explore it going forward, then maybe it was worthwhile. But I...
Right.
Or maybe, you know, maybe the other theme is that she's too rich to have to do this and she could just quit. That's another possibility. But
yeah, that's you said that in your post about it. And I thought that was a good point that part of this, the table setting of this episode is to show how people's circumstances have changed since the acquisition. And that is interesting. Like, what keeps people doing what they're doing if they don't have to? Like, it was echoed in the retirement of Ken's father-in-law, Skip Remming, as well. what's important if you have money? Like, you know, the wife also mentions like she came from plenty too. So, you know, what did he keep working for? Did he really love his job? What's he gonna do now? Like, that seems to be, you know, a reasonable place to start for these last seven episodes, or should I say, as the outro did, the countdown. There's only five episodes before the finale. Like, we know.
Also, end of an era.
Are we starting this already? Five episodes to the finale? Okay, but, you know.
Well, we can all be very, very thankful that Matt Weiner, being the rich guy he is, continues to do the work of writing the second part of the last season of An End of an Era. Mad Men, thanks.
And permitting the tongue-slathering promos that started in January for the... I mean, you know, we're not electing a pope. Dial it down. Also, I was immediately annoyed by the title card in memory of Mike Nichols. Like, don't be fucking drafting off a pacing master Padawan, okay?
And also, the beginning is not where those go. They go at the end.
That's why I was like, yeah, was that true? Did he dedicate the... previously to him, or was it a weird thing where it was the start of the show? I was like, that's weird. Odd. All right,
maybe they didn't want people to say they dedicated that to him.
Or Mike Nichols' ghost being like, is that all there is? Because D plus
mustaches.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Roger FTW.
Wow.
If that's a win, but
yeah, oh, I retweeted this from Danger Guerrero last night from our previously TV Twitter account. But the mustache on Roger Danger wrote is resetting the karmic balance for Sam Elliott showing up on Justified clean shaven, and I have to agree. It's just balancing the scales.
In fact, I think it is Sam Elliott's actual mustache from Mask.
That's where it went. Sam Elliott was sleeping at night. His mustache
flew off his, like, it flapped back and forth like a pair of wings, you know.
Like a bat.
Yeah.
A lit bat.
Landed on John Slattery.
That's true. He could get airborne with that thing, I think.
Do we know any animators that can do it that far? That would be great. Those were magnificent. Yep. Not only his, but what's his face? Yeah, Ted had.
Yeah,
he was rocking a pretty good one. Didn't really fit his face, but but still, it was that was some 70s stash. And let's not forget, we got Stan.
Oh my God, Stan!
Stan the animal,
all the hair. He looked like Sasquatch. I mean, it suits
with
him.
An ascot.
Like he can sell it, and I love that guy. And I hope that this Brian Krakow cul-de-sac doesn't go anywhere, because I still ship Peggy and Stan forever.
Sure.
I almost didn't recognize Pink Guy. I was like, that sounds like him. But
his best week ever, as John can attest, since
he was just on iZombie, or I might not have recognized him. Yeah, mm-hmm. But let's see.
Two of the four shows you covered this week.
Wow.
I thought with Ted's mustache, it was a good choice too, because he was so sad sacky all last season, and this mustache was shorthand for him. Like, okay, I'm back. I'm having fun again. I'm living my life.
Yeah.
In his double-breasted polyester shit brown jacket.
Speaking of hair, though, and coming back to Elizabeth Reeser, I would like to hear from Tara Ariano Wig Cop about
I mean,
what she was wearing there.
Yeah, you can't really start pulling the wig thread, as it were, with Mad Men because it's all wigs. But yeah, she doesn't look good. I mean, I guess that they were trying to make her look like OG Rachel Menken from back in the day, and she did, but eh. And the little bonnet doesn't help either. It just looks like it's holding it down.
I mean, I understand that hairspray was a big thing back there then, but I don't usually get the sense that well, maybe I do, but this wig just struck me as like you could have picked it up and it wouldn't have moved. Not a strand would have moved.
Definitely not. It was very, very homemade.
It was like the prop wig from Hairspray.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. So speaking of that character, can we talk about having sex in a back alley in New York City and how incredibly smelly that would be? Because like
I think it was summer. Like that would have been so rank.
Because there is stink, right? There is a stink of I just walked into a room and I just farted, right? That's one kind of stink. And there
definitely
is
New York City boiled garbage July 10th.
But then there's but then there's the stink of an alley that has been host to a restaurant's garbage for years, where there are no straight edges where the building meets the sidewalk, because it's all filled with grime and grossness and grease, and you just never get that out. And it's just like that smell never ever leaves. It could be the dead of winter, it could be the height of summer, and here's these two characters going at it amongst stinky stinkiness, and it's got to be all rotten, and Don Draper's is going at it, and previously in the episode he had sex on a wine stain that he put a thin blanket over, and they're having sex on that. The wine stain's going to come through that blanket.
We had to pause the episode to argue about this, and I'm not even joking. That Dave was like, no, it's going to come through. It's like he's replacing the rug anyway, and Dave was like, no, the blanket. Like, when have you cared about a dirty blanket? Our dog sleeps.
But you're
going to
be rolling, and your stuff, your junk's going to be all like cold, whiny, and come on, it's not right. Anyways, I'm just wondering if this is Don Draper's, you know, like this is his new fetish, is filth fucking.
Well, he's not the only one to do alley sex. I mean, how do you feel if you're Roger and Jones' kid asking for the story of your conception?
Yeah,
it's
right.
True.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
It's a rich tapestry.
Mean.
All right, let's change the subject to something of interest to no one except me. Don is DB Cooper Watch 2015.
Oh my God.
He could still be DB Cooper. And in the dream sequence, she's like, doesn't she say that he missed his plane?
His flight. Yeah.
So he should catch another plane and hijack it and jump out of it with money and be DB Cooper.
I am equal parts fascinated and impressed by how you're pushing this, and incredibly annoyed.
We should have Dan on next week and you guys could talk all about that, except he's not impressed at all.
I would like
to hear Dan's scene study Mad Men
seriously.
That'd be amazing.
I really want it to be true for you, Sarah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I thought this was. I also want to spare a thought. Get back to Ken Cosgrove for a second. Ken has never been awesomer. His fuck you at the end was so great.
You know what would have capped it is a little tap dance as he left the left the office.
I feel like that was a shout out for our friend Will Edmondson, whose birthday was yesterday when this episode aired. Ken Cosgrove is and always has been his favorite character. So I feel like that was a gift from Matthew Weiner to Will somehow through time.
He really hasn't had anything to do in a long time on the show. Like,
I think he hasn't.
You know, all the Chevy stuff was season 5, but I think last season he was really spinning his wheels. But if they kept him around just to be a thorn in Pete and Roger's side, I am A+ for that, for sure.
Absolutely.
Is this the best secretary Don Draper has ever had?
Best in what
she
sense?
Is now.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's getting there.
Well, I mean, best for him, but I mean, also most functional.
I'm worried that if she keeps being so competent, it's going to end with dry humping on his couch in his office.
Well, I mean, I think she's, you know, she's attractive, but she's not sexy. But, you know, she's actually doing a good job. You know, she did the research for him that he could catch up over the weekend.
She typed that label all by herself.
Yeah. She got him a sandwich.
If you do your job and you're sexy, that's a bad combo for Don Draper. I mean, it's just the sexy part.
Well, you'll end up being wife number What is he up to now? Five, yeah. Technically.
This would be four, right?
Yeah.
If you count Anna.
I just wanted a shout out. I feel like, you know, she was doing a good job. And I feel like, you know, like if she was like a little prettier, not prettier, sexier, then like she would already be in and out of the system, as it were.
As it were.
Yeah. And I give the show a lot of credit for taking a character like that who was all comic relief and just like kind of letting her develop as you know, something else. It's nice when that happens. It's unexpected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts on the premiere? Where it's going or what you want to see or whatever.
What does everyone think? Is Peggy actually gonna get something going with Brian Krakow here, do we think? I mean, I thought she probably is. I think they're gonna explore it, but
yeah, she seems too open-ended
otherwise.
Yeah. But. I mean, I guess having her end up with Stan, as much as I would want it personally, it would be tying things up into neat a bow, probably.
Well, and I don't think you cast someone like Gummersall necessarily as a one-off, but
yeah,
Reeser probably was, I hope.
So
and they have done that in the past. Like that weird Nev Campbell.
True. Just once, yeah.
Airplane.
Shit. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So we're in 1970, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And Tara, where do you want to see this go?
In general?
Yeah.
I feel like guessing is a fool's errand because really anything could happen. But I just pray my dear Roger Sterling survives to the finale. That's all I want. Sarah?
Yeah, D.B. Cooper non-joke jokes aside. I mean, we know where I want it to go, but since it won't. I kind of want to see at least like a little snippet of Peggy trying and failing to aerobicize effectively before the curtain falls on this saga. Sure. But other than that, I also have no idea. I'm terrible at predicting these things.
John?
Well, I thought since Pete Campbell was the only one who of the partners who still seemed worried about money, I'd like to see him running the agency at the end and everyone else can go off and, you know, into the sunset.
Oh, I'd love that. Pete's my favorite character. I love Pete so much. He's such a dick.
You do love Pete.
I kind of feel like
he's the best.
Don Draper and like my feelings on Breaking Bad with Walter White are sort of the same, where he's on this path, this self-destructive path. And although it was super obvious with Breaking Bad, you know, obviously there was one path and he was heading towards it and he's going to be, you know, dead or disappeared at the end of the series. Don Draper, like he's on this destructive path. He can't get his shit together, but he's really good at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to see him, self-destruct at the end of the series. I think he deserves it. As
well,
a
what
human
does
being.
Self-destruction mean for Don at this point?
Yeah. But that's the thing.
Jumping out of a plane. What other bottom is there left for him to hit? Really?
Well, it would just be like for it to hit him hard, it would have to be his career that is somehow affected by his everything else and that he does in life. Right.
Right.
Because that's always something he's been good at. It's always something that's been relatively effortless for him.
Mm-hmm.
But if something he does, actions with women, with, you know, peers and everything catch up to him in the workplace, which would make sense that he could have like that a really bad year and then, you know, of course he's D.B. Cooper, so what does it all matter?
Sure,
exactly.
Yeah,
it's the river, the money's lost, he's dead.
It's interesting though, because he does seem, you know, emotionally I wouldn't necessarily say healthy, but he seems the happiest he's been in a while, and he's come to terms with his past. You know, he's kind of casually talking about his whorehouse upbringing, which, you know, he never has before.
As you do.
So I wonder what the fuck. But I also found it interesting that, not interesting, but interesting as to where Don could go, is that Jessica Perret is still in the credits.
Right.
And they hinted that she's going to be back. So I wonder what that looks like. I hope she's not Sharon Tate still. I thought we were done with that. But there could be some complication there, I think.
All right. Well, stay tuned. John, when are we going to see our first promo prognostication? How's that? How are you going to fit that into your, we'll talk off air. You know, I don't want to commit you to anything right now.
We definitely have an open slot on Fridays. Just saying.
Just saying.
I'm looking into the crystal ball, Dave, but it's cloudy at this point. You know.
Is there a plane?
Hi, Libby.
Hi, Mom.
We just finished watching season 8, episode 12 of Face Off. Okay, I didn't realize it was episode 12.
Yes, already.
Already.
Can you describe the challenge for me?
Today they were making lots of dolls.
Just regular dolls?
No way.
What was special about these dolls?
They were creepy and evil.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who is your favorite creepy evil doll?
Darla was my favorite creepy evil doll.
What did she do?
She made a porcelain doll.
Mm-hmm.
And the porcelain doll, the little girl dropped the porcelain doll. And she has a magic mirror. And she's so angry that anytime anyone looks in another mirror, she uses that evil magic mirror to defeat them.
I see. And who is the winner this week?
This week, Darla was the winner.
Yeah. Hers was really cool because she made a lot of...
cracks.
Yeah, a lot of cracks, and she did a cool treatment with the paint.
Well, that's because the little girl dropped her.
Yes, that's why there were cracks. And who is the loser this week?
Adam.
What did he do?
A giant baby.
But was it really a giant baby?
Not really.
No, it was weird. It had like one baby arm stuck to it, but it looked like a black monster was coming out of terrible. The doll, sort of.
Yeah, and it looked like an old pirate instead of a baby.
Mm-hmm.
A total opposite.
Yeah, it didn't look like a doll at all.
No, looked like an old man dressed as a pirate pretending to be a baby.
Yeah. There were a lot of choices for dolls. Which one did you think was the cutest?
What do you mean?
Well, they had a ventriloquist mannequin thing.
What?
The ventriloquist. Remember I told you about the guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, puts his hand in the puppet.
Bow, 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 bow.
Yeah, and doesn't move his mouth, but makes the puppet talk. And then there was the baby doll, and the porcelain doll, and the rag doll.
I think I liked the rag doll.
Yeah. The real rag doll, not Emily's
real rag doll.
Yeah. Do you think it would have been fun to cuddle Emily's rag doll?
Yes, if it was a doll and not a human.
Yeah. She made it a little creepy.
Yeah. I think I would like holding one of my dolls other than a Rosalind doll, like a stuffed monster instead of that, because like a stuffed monster, like a guy from Monsters, Inc. is fine.
Yeah. Why do you think some people find dolls creepy?
I don't know. Maybe the doll has something they're scared of in it. Or maybe they're just scared of some types of dolls.
Yeah. Do you find dolls creepy?
No, not really.
No. Do you think Ellie finds dolls creepy?
I don't think she does. She plays with dolls all the time.
Yeah. Do you think Dad finds dolls creepy?
No.
What about Tara?
No.
Do you think Dave Cole finds dolls creepy?
If he was being silly, yes.
Yeah.
But
do you think he would serve the doll fart tea?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Probably fart tea.
Yeah.
Like that time when you said Dave Cole made me special apple juice and it said fart tea.
Right on the cup. What a goose. Thanks for speaking with me this week, Liv.
You're welcome.
Do I have to explain fart tea? I feel like I've explained it already.
I can't remember if it came up on the podcast or not.
There, Ellie and Liv were here over Christmas, they were having a... like a tea party, imaginary tea party.
Yeah, Dave had bought him a little tea party set.
And they kept on asking me to drink some tea, and I did. So I said, oh, I'll make some tea next. And I made fart tea, and I kept the joke
going.
Pretend
fart tea. You didn't actually fart in their cup.
No. And
or Davey. You
know, I was serving it to him. They started drinking. I was like, do you like it? And it's like, yeah. I was like, it's fart tea. And I kept on going on. And then they kicked me out of the tea party.
They did.
They actually made me leave the room. And then
it ended up being a runner for the whole for their whole visit.
So fart tea's a thing now.
Yep.
All right, it's time to go around the dial, and Tara is our first stop.
Well, it's over already, the slap. Alas, we've seen our last still photo or flashback or GIF or, well, no, the GIF will live forever, but Zachary Quinto slapping the shit out of a little too long-haired kid who's breastfeeding way too late in life.
In Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn, obviously. It ended in a completely anticlimactic way with everything hinging on the kid who took the picture, and he had this whole tragic backstory, which who cares? And the judge saying that the case comes down to kindness as opposed to whether parents have a responsibility to parent their children such that other members of the community don't have to get involved and take baths away from them. It was really a bullshit ending, basically. But what I never noticed, and I kicked myself for it until last night when we were rewatching the Two Bad Neighbors episode of The Simpsons, is that this entire 8-episode season of The Slap basically has the same exact plot as The Simpsons episode when George W. Bush moves across the street, Bart ruins his memoirs, and George W. Bush spanks him, and then it escalates into a whole prank war back and forth between George W. Bush and Homer over whether this is acceptable behavior for a former president or anyone else. That's exactly what the story is. And The Slap would have been so much better if it had just been about like Rosie and Gary versus Harry, just like fighting back and forth for 8 episodes over who was ultimately right, except we all know who was ultimately right. Harry! The slapper.
All right, let's go to John.
So speaking of shows that that feature kids speaking too late, breastfeeding too late in life, I would like to talk about Game of Thrones.
Yes.
So I was one of those people who didn't watch Game of Thrones for the first 4 seasons. It was one of those I figured, oh, I'll get around to it. You know, how good could it be? Blah blah. But 2 separate friends of mine were so bummed out that I didn't watch it because I thought I would like it so much that I finally gave in. And of course, I love it. It's great. And the reason I want to talk about it, obviously, is because it's premiering next week.
We will have more talk about it next week, probably. But
yes,
continue.
Of course. But they've released a couple of trailers that look really good. I don't know if it's a spoilery to talk about trailers that have been
trailers
out for
are
a while.
Fine.
But,
no,
yeah,
trailers
but,
are fair enough.
I mean, I'm super psyched just that Varys and Tyrion are look like they're going to go try to link up with Daenerys, because Daenerys, I feel like, is the one, not having read the books, I feel like she's the one that's going to take the Iron Throne, but she's been away for so long and has had no link with anyone from Westeros that I'm psyched that they think she's the horse to bet on at this point. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Game of Thrones.
Spoilers
ahoy. 5.
Dragons.
Ahoy.
Ahoy.
I've watched the first episode of the next season. We got screeners for it. And actually, we got like 4 episodes. Which
yeah,
HBO,
shout out to John Kwiatkowski at HBO, who's really hooked us up this year.
Yeah. Anyway, so I watched the first episode. Just 2 things, not really big spoilers, but one, there's a really great visual of Tywin with the, you know, like stone eyes, you know, like basically their version of coin eyes that really creeped me out. And
man.
2, and I think it might be a first for the Game of Thrones TV show, there's a flashback. And with Cersei as a kid and sort of like where shit starts with her, or at least in a formative episode of her life. Anyways, I thought it was interesting. So look forward to that.
And spoilers.
Now the season 5 Game of Thrones premiere. Spoilers are at an end. Now we go to Sarah.
Wow, that actually segued really nicely.
It really did.
Musically. Good job, team. I wanted to talk apropos of our boy John Kay at HBO, who got me the Sinatra All or Nothing at All screeners, about how apparently we're in a little mini golden age of musician documentaries right now. Sinatra is a 2-part, 2 hours each documentary that's been on HBO as we record this. The first part was last night. The second part is tonight, Monday, between Mad Men, Easter, the March Madness ending finally.
Passover.
I think people are not prioritizing caring about the chairman of the board, but it'll be on HBO Go. It's a great sit. My coverage of it might seem hypercritical, but it's only because I super loved it and actually wanted it to be more like 7 or 8 hours was like, how come you skipped over this thing? Like,
but people are saying that on the boards too.
Yeah, it's really good. It's like engrossing. And if you like sort of mid-century design, like the fonts, the tiny little martini glasses, the circle pins, it's all there for you. But it's not the only recent musician documentary that's been acclaimed. Our esteemed colleague and Blankenship chair occupant, Mark Blankenship, really liked that Backstreet documentary. My Twitter friend, Kevin Smokler, sent me the Kansas documentary that was really excellent. There was the History of the Eagles from last year, which was brilliant.
I feel like that one keeps getting rediscovered because, like, there'll be a burst of people on Twitter, like, every 3 months just going through and watching it and geeking out all over it, for sure.
Yeah. And that was me and Smokler recently that he's like, the what now? I was like, sir, you are getting this gifted to you on iTunes. So we had our, like, co-nerd documentary switch.
Nice.
But yeah, there's a lot of, and then iTunes can always recommend like similar projects that are also excellent. So it's really cool for a documentary nerd who can't sing to see all these awesome nonfiction projects coming out about musicians. And I totally recommend borrowing a friend's HBO Go login and watching the Sinatra one. It's really good.
I feel like we'll never get ahead of this, but let's talk about the reboots aplenty that are going on in the TV sphere right now.
Yeah.
Twin Peaks, the It's Happening, but Probably Not With David Lynch project over at Showtime, which we found out this weekend, which
it also
why
may
bother
not,
if
it may
David
not
Lynch,
happen.
Yeah. But technically right now it is still
as of this recording,
not dead.
Correct.
But David Lynch said he's out because Showtime wouldn't throw enough money at it, which is totally fair. I assume he meant at the production as a whole, not for himself.
Who's to say?
But yeah, who's to say? But still, Twin Peaks without David Lynch sounds like a loser project. So hopefully they just won't do it if he's not involved, because that would be kind of sad to see it go from season one to season two and then to, you know, this other thing that they're going to do.
Right.
We got Coach, which is
who wanted Coach?
I'm gonna tell you, I think Netflix
who wanted the first one. No one.
Well, really, here's my theory: is Netflix is trying to like shore up their numbers outside of the East and West Coasts, and it's an appeal to the middle,
perhaps,
and people under 80.
Yeah,
seriously.
Can I make a confession though? When it used to be on in syndication, I used to watch Coach, and it's not terrible. I'm sorry. I don't care about Craig T. Nelson or football. And yet somehow that show worked on me. I don't know why. Continue.
We have Full House.
Yeah. Again, a show that feels like the only people who watch it are people that watch it ironically. Like, why not Saved by the Bell? But then again, why not Saved by the Bell? Continue.
Yeah. We talked about the X-Files previously. Mm-hmm. Now there's some like buzz about what's going to happen after this little 6-episode stuff. Maybe something else, you know? So we're even getting like the next generation of the reboot show talk.
Yeah.
And I think also this week we had the Muppet Show in some form being rebooted.
I feel like that one's one that like, it just burbles up from underground like every 18 months or so, whether it's actually valid or not. It's just a thing that happens.
Well, and then you have these like little tiny failed reboots of the Muppet Show. I feel like every 10 years they had Muppets Tonight.
Yeah.
And, you know, the movies
first
came,
couple of
came
movies.
Ago.
Yeah.
Anyways, so all this reboot talk, it just reminds me of the TV to movie plague of the 80s and 90s where like for every fugitive you had like 10 or 15 Beverly Hillbillies or Dragnets or Lost in Spaces.
Oh,
live action Flintstones.
Oh, yeah. Two of them.
And it's just like too easy of a thing for executives to do, right? Because like the marketing's already halfway done. You know, you have so many things going in your favor for a launch, but they hardly ever execute on the project.
Yeah.
And the deeper they go into the back catalog for these things, the more horrific they're going to get. Like, I'm on board for X-Files because I think like a continuation of that story years later, past the alien date, you know, because remember, if they're going with today's date, mm-hmm. we're already a couple of years past 2012 when right. it was all supposed to happen, right?
Right.
That could be interesting. Mm-hmm. And Twin Peaks could have been interesting too, because that was such a bizarre, weird thing. It's such a singular entity in television
yeah.
that to see David Lynch pick it up again 25 years later, like they said in the show, mm-hmm. would be interesting.
Yeah.
But now, you know, like, what are we going to get next? You know, like, who knows? Like, we're going to get, like, stuff like, you know, here's the Riptide remake or reboot we all wanted. And, you know, like, it's just going to get
stop
worse.
Stop guessing
worse.
Riptide, Dave. This is game time all over
small
again.
Small wonder.
But I mean, I do think that it's, I feel like recap culture is partly to blame for mm-hmm. this, because it's easy to convince yourself, if you're a TV executive, you can find support for just about any property if you just look hard enough on the internet and be yeah. like, well, people are talking about this all the time. And like, you know, shows that our site included, not that I think we're driving the conversation, but like going back through older shows and doing a rewatch and talking about it makes it seem like anything is potentially rebootable, which if anyone is looking at Rags to Riches, it is not.
Oh yeah, let's add Veronica Mars to that too.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
right.
And that was another successful one, but
yeah,
that was a little different because that was fan driven, right? I mean, that was a project that was funded by fans, mm-hmm. so it sort of had its audience baked in.
Yeah,
I don't know, these ones just seem kind of chancy, and I just like, let's not go too far overboard with this, Hollywood. Please. All right, it's time for the canon. John Ramos is going to make a pitch for what?
I am pitching Oz, Season 1, Episode 4, entitled Capital P.
Huh! Are you okay?
Oh, boy. Very in keeping with this episode. I feel like Oz is a forgotten show. I never really hear discussion of it these days. You know, when people are talking about stuff like The Wire, you know, and beloved shows that they need to catch up on. Not that this is on the same level, probably because it got pretty soapy and forgettable as it went on. But I thought the first two seasons were really strongly plotted. Featured very memorable characters and still managed to take on some major issues, as in this episode, which deals with the death penalty. Prior to this, there had been a style of violence, excuse me, between the wise guys and the African Americans, starting with a pilot which ended in a very grisly murder. Last episode, thanks to my personal favorite puppet master Ryan O'Reilly. Jefferson Keane, a black criminal who found Allah under Saeed's mentorship, killed a couple assailants in self-defense. And now he's on death row, standing to be the first person executed in the state of New York in decades. Governor Devlin, whose character is loathsome as Zeljko Ivanik is awesome in his performance, sets the stage in clip one.
The mood in this country has changed. People are sick of crime, sick of being afraid. They need a sign that something's being done.
Even, Governor, if it's been proven that executions have no effect on the increase or decrease of crime whatsoever?
Especially if it has no effect. These days, murders are random, senseless. Maybe the punishment should be, too.
So it's worth noting that Glynn gives Devlin yeah. an amazing side eye after that.
Yeah, I made a note about that. Yeah.
But in the wake of this, the beloved Sister Pete, played by Rita Moreno, declares her intention to stand with the protesters against the death penalty, and Glynn immediately fires her because he is the worst, except for McManus, who is the absolute worst. And is his usual cauldron of impotence for most of this episode, but we'll get to that. There's a little montage of everyone gossiping about everything that's happened lately, which I always found a realistic turn. Like, what else is everyone going to do but talk about each other in this prison? There's a little bit with Ribido, who, as it turns out, was the last person attempted to be executed in the state of New York. And there's an ironically cheery bit with Jailhouse Rock playing. It's ironic in light of what's to come later. But the plot starts moving along when Beecher, in one of those early decisions where you just wanted to slap some sense into him, defies Schillinger in trying to help Keane with an appeal. He finagles himself being put into protective custody, and that leads to clip two.
I killed Martinez.
Well, why didn't you tell the lawyers that you were set up?
Look, Johnny Poole's killed Dino Ortolani because I told him to. Now the wise guys know that. So now they want me dead. If they kill me, one of my homeboys is going to kill them. and then they're gonna kill another one of my boys. And on and on and on. My death can put an end to that.
Not necessarily.
Look, if I die, I feel like I might go to heaven now. But if I go back to M City, I might go back to my old ways. I may lose my faith, my soul. I'm at peace right now, Peach. Please don't take that from me.
Look, I'm not responsible for your soul. But as a lawyer, I am responsible for justice. I don't need your cooperation to file an appeal on your behalf.
Beecher, please don't.
It's something I have to do.
Shut up, Beecher. luckily, he aborts this idea pretty soon after this. So Saeed, Keen's, mentor, spiritual mentor, gets to confer with Keen. This is Iman Walker's, I think, iconic role. It's what I associate him with. His heart condition that acts up will turn out to be a running thing throughout the series. Keen's gay brother visits him. They talk about their father. It's very moving. They also get the news that their sister is dying of kidney failure. So there's a whole subplot with McManus asking Mukata to get the Cardinal involved, etc., etc. But what you need to know is Ryan is the puppet master. He this juxtaposition I really like. There's an anger management seminar, and there's then a smash cut to Adebisi and Wangler like using everything in the kitchen, literally, to like beat D'Angelo up and put him in the hospital.
Yeah, what was that thing they put him in at the end? What was that?
I think it was an industrial dishwasher.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Fast moving thing. Yeah. So then we get to Alvarez's baby subplot. His baby is also dying. You know, people have a lot of medical problems in this episode. He gets leave to visit him in the hospital, and he does duly get taken off life support and dies, and that leads to the next clip.
You're right. No, I feel better about myself. I mean, I never thought that I'd love a baby with all my heart. And I never loved anything before in my life. So it's like open up, like whole new me. that's important, right? Figuring out who you are, you know, and about yourself. So, you know, I know now.
Well, I'm real glad.
Well, you know, I would all to you.
Well, I gotta go.
Hey, Father. Where was God when my son died?
Same place he was when his own son died.
Denny's.
Jumping out of a plane.
Oh my God. My first reaction to Mukata's closing line there was that it's a little bit glib and inappropriate, but then I realized that Mukata really doesn't have a better answer. And I picked that clip because while everyone's having a very tough episode, Mukata's really in the thick of all the stuff that's going on and is being pulled in every direction and is really probably going to question his faith after this. So there's so much stuff in this episode I could, you know, I wanted to clip a bunch of stuff, but I had to cut it down. But let's move ahead to McManus having gotten a fight with Gloria about the death penalty. Ends up hanging out with Diane, who also has just had an emotional moment with Keen's dad, and he asks her if she's going to watch the execution, and this is her reply.
I can't stand watching flowers die, let alone another human being. Closest I ever came was Bambi.
Bambi?
Yeah. My ex was a big hunter. He's always going off with his buddies, so I said to him one time, take me. After some complaining, he did. So I got out there in the forest with this this big honky shotgun, and I fired at a deer. Hit it dead on. So I went over to this thing, and I leaned down, and this deer looked up at me with these eyes. These eyes like flashlights. I knelt beside it and I held its head and I whispered, I'm sorry. Then, like batteries going bad, the light in his eyes flickered a little bit and went out. For the next 2 years that we were married, every time I walked into the den, I had to stare at that fucking deer's dead eyes. I had to dust them. When we got divorced, that's all I asked for, the deer's head. And I buried it.
So that story is thematic, and it will become more so, but it's also one of the earliest showcases I can remember for Edie Falco. She's, like, terrific in this scene. And it leads to possibly the most cringe-worthy sex of the series, which is saying an awful lot. It's so, like, terribly memorable and juxtaposes so well with the horror of the execution. And speaking of, we move ahead to that. It happens pretty quickly afterwards. You know, there are moments that are just so affecting. I mean, seeing Keane strapped in before the curtain opens, you know, and you get this one POV shot where the team coming in to give him the injection is upside down. And it's just like, oh, my God, it's just emotionally shattering. But then the curtain opens and clip five.
You can make any statement you'd like.
I want my family to know that I love them. And I believe that this punishes them more than it punishes me. I am so sorry for the three murders that I did. And I wish by killing me today, you could bring them back. My time on this earth has been far too short. Maybe too short to get it all done, right? So, I'm ready to move on. All praise to Allah.
So two things about that. First, the actor who played Keen was the same actor who was up on the cross in Madonna's Papa Don't Preach video.
Yep. Thank you. I was wondering about that.
It that one, or I thought it was... Oh, was he also in Like a Prayer? Because he's in that one, too.
I'm sorry. I meant Like a Prayer. Oh, okay. That was a brain fart. Yes, thank you for that. So a little bit of a thematic tie-in, gotta think. and the other point is just like in Diane's story with the deer, what you don't see from the clip is that the camera, as Keane is speaking, is closing in, and eventually it's right up at his eye, just like the deer, and the light goes out, and it's literally the most wrenching and haunting image that I saw from this series, and has stayed with me for, you know, however long it's been, like over 15 years. It's just so well visually crafted and affecting. But the episode is not done. There's another prisoner to be executed, played by Eric Roberts at his most Eric Roberts-y.
Yep.
all swagger and misplaced masculinity. I wanted to clip something, but the episode is so thick I had to cut it. But the point is, he plays this killer named Richard Letalien. He killed nearly 40 women, all by strangulation. Including him at this point is a bit unusual structurally, I'll admit, because the Keane storyline is so emotional, you figured it would wrap the episode. But I credit the show for giving the other side of the death penalty argument, as even Mukata admits to Sister Pete that if anyone deserves to die for his crimes, it would be Letalien. And what better casting could there be for this role than Eric Roberts? I'll say it again. So now at the end, it's time for some exhausted reflection, and Glenn and Sister Pete bring it on home.
Christ was executed, you know. And if he hadn't been, the world would be a very different place.
A better place?
I didn't say that. I want my job back.
Okay.
I don't have to beg.
If it'll make you feel better, beg.
I just want you to know I still disagree with you on the death penalty.
Even for a sis like Littell?
Oh, Leo. Thou shalt not kill. The Bible makes that pretty clear. You cannot take a human life for any reason.
Yeah, but the Bible also says an eye for an eye. which says to me that if you kill, you die. Seems to me God's talking out of both sides of his mouth. Maybe he's just confused about the death penalty as the rest of us. All I know for sure is no one's going to claim Italian's body, so we're going to stick him in a cheap pine box, stamp an ID number on the lid, and throw him in a hole at Potter's Field. There he'll be. But no one to grieve for him.
I grieve for him.
Yeah, I know. That's why I love you. That's why I'm glad you're back.
So to wrap up, I'd say there's plenty of TV that has made me think, but rarely does TV make me think about actual real-life issues, the stuff that people fight about personally and professionally, even wrestle with themselves about. I think this episode manages to do that while servicing the characters really well. For only the fourth episode of the series, it's ambitious and assured. Even Alvarez's baby plotline ties into the theme of the complicated morality of ending lives. And Hill's monologues, which I generally didn't have much use for, are on point. They're not particularly subtle, nor is a lot of the episode, but the issue that it deals with is so big that it works for me. And again, the image of just Keane's eye is so simple, and it's something I've never forgotten. So that's why I think it belongs in the canon. And I throw it out to you guys.
Awesome submission. I had not revisited the show, I think, until... until like since it went off the air until now, because it just seemed kind of like once you'd watched it once, it was like complete. It always was pretty on the nose, and you didn't like there wasn't a whole lot of unpacking to do. It pretty much unpacked itself and laid the whole suitcase out on the bed for you. But I really enjoyed this episode. I thought the acting was really good. I thought the writing was a little less like melodramatic, like some of the later seasons, it got sort of insane. I would like to take a moment to appreciate BD Wong's stricken/disgusted face, which he is called on to make. Like throughout his career, if someone did a supercut of him trying to look compassionate but instead looking nauseated, it would be like 3.5 days long. He's always like, "I hear ya." But he's great here. Rita Moreno is great. That side eye from Ernie Hudson is top side eye. Yep. And that story about Whittlesey's ex and the deer, like on paper, that absolutely should not work. And also McManus is in the scene, which immediately like 2 full letter grades off. But like she was amazing. Falco was so good in that scene and she totally sold it. And despite certain camera angles involving McManus' head and Whittlesey thigh, which, oh, speaking of looking nauseated, I think this really is like this is emblematic of Oz, this episode. Like, in addition to being good and entertaining and fun to see Mayhem, like, in jail and almost 20 years younger, it was, like, this is everything that was... that made Oz good and bad.
I find this series is like a transition between stuff in the early 90s and sort of like, you know, the new golden age of television.
Yeah.
Where like, if you split the difference between The Wire and like Star Trek, The Next Generation, you would get Oz as far as the writing quality and everything goes. Like for everything that you found affecting John, I found it hokey. I found a lot of the metaphors and a lot of the staging and the camera work was very, I don't know the best way to say this, very first AV project-y in some ways, you know what I mean? Like
sure.
The plexiglass box with the words painted on it was sophomoric, absolutely, but
thank
that's
you,
fucking Hill for you, whatever.
Yes, thank you. That's exactly the word I was looking for. The death to the little death of orgasm bit, from the chamber to McManus having an orgasm was really eye-rolly to me.
Also, was McManus having an orgasm like, must be a day ending and why, blew.
You know, when we're watching Tara, and not to steal Tara's point, but it's like, man, this is really stagey. Like, I forgot how stagey this was. And it, once you rewatch it, you're like, wow, this, like, I always kind of put Oz at the start of the golden age of, you know, new golden age, but I think it's more like really is a transitional thing, and it kind of like it's halfway there, but not all the way there. So it doesn't quite seem like something I'd want to dip back into because it seems proto showy to me. And to me, Oz is always going to be the man soap opera. It's like the Folgers Crystals man soap opera. You know, it's like, what are you watching there? Oh, I'm watching a show, but you're watching a soap opera, dude. You're basically watching a Office Place soap opera where people get stabbed a lot.
Especially yes. when Beecher Chris Maloney gets going. Like,
yeah,
that was one thing this episode could have used more of was more Beecher Maloney bone.
Yeah, that, I wouldn't say no to that. I didn't ever dislike Oz. I watched Oz, and I think it was like an entertaining show for what it was, which was basically a man soap opera. And then sometimes, you know, they have smart things to say. Sometimes they don't. And it's just people getting swastikas tattooed in their ass. And that was the kind of show it was. And it was very much sort of like this HBO show from, again, it's like this transitional thing. Even HBO, like they just do a lot of shitty, stupid stuff. And nowadays they're kind of known for just doing this top shelf stuff. And this is sort of like right in between for me. And I think it's like, I like this episode, but I didn't love it. I think it's good, but I don't think it's great. I would say if you haven't watched Oz, give it a watch. Would it say it's canon worthy? Probably not. Tara?
Yeah, it is very stagey, but in the sense of like, it feels like watching a play. Like some of the people are better at this, delivering this writing than others. And Sarah pointed to the Whittlesey speech that John
that was
clipped.
Great. That was great.
But it's cause, as Sarah says, it's because she is great. Mm-hmm. Like she, the way she, they have, you know, I had to look at those eyes and then she's there. She says, I had to dust them. And the way she, Edie Falco just throws that away. I had to dust them is like, that's what makes that speech for me in a way. I can't really put my finger on, but like she makes it feel natural. And I also liked, I thought the way that they portrayed the sort of two perspectives on faith in a professional way between Sister Pete and Father Makata, like, is it your job to protest the way she does and, you know, defend your faith that way? Or is your job to minister to people that need it the way he does? And so that's, you know, as a person with Catholicism in my past, that was interesting to me. Beecher is, I find it hilarious that you hate McManus so much because Beecher is that for me.
Dumb fair. Glasses. His eyeglasses alone in this episode. Oh, yeah.
And his whole, like, his quest to get into Death Row, it's like, take it easy, Encyclopedia Brown. Like, he just was so trying to crack the code of how he was going to get there. It was just like, it was a little much. And when Schillinger calls him Bitcher, I was like, yes!
Yeah, I made it over that. I was like, yeah, kind of.
And Mayhem, I love that you called him that, because that's what he's exactly doing here. He's just causing mayhem. He's like, you know, chaotic evil. He was fun.
It's really interesting to see him after you've seen him. And like for the longest time, he was that guy.
Yeah.
And now for me, he's Dennis Duffy.
Dennis Duffy, totally.
And so I keep on, you know, wanting him to say, hey, dummy, you know, when he walks into a room. But it's kind of fun. Like,
he could have said, hey, dummy, when he walked in on just about anyone in this episode. It would have worked.
Probably true.
But
and probably does in other episodes.
True. But as much as I was like, at the beginning, it's sort of, you know, made me itchy a little bit for the stagey regions that I said. By the end of it, I did want to watch more. Like, it's so soapy, and I think having the L'Italien thing is at the end is no accident because it makes you, like, it propels you from the bummer of Keane to, like, what crazy shit is going to happen next? And that's what I liked about it.
All right. So shall we put it to a vote, peoples?
Sure.
All right. Well, I will say no, but not a hard no. Tara?
I'll say yes.
And Sarah?
I will also say yes.
Oz, Season 1, Episode 4, capital P, you are hereby inducted into the Extra Hot Great Canon. Huh?
Americans love a winner.
Yeah.
And will not tolerate a loser.
All right, it is time for Winner and Loser of the Week. Tara has her winner.
Our winner is Spike TV, which here's what it achieved this week with a million qualifications. Lip Sync Battle was its most watched unscripted debut in Spike TV history. And Dave and I watched it. It's pretty fun. There's not much to it, but I enjoyed it a great deal. And the first episode was between The Rock and Jimmy Fallon, so you can't lose.
True.
The Rock was fucking great, obviously. He's led with Shake It Off, and it was amazing. So, yeah. Good for Spike for taking Lip Sync Battle. I'm kind of surprised that, given the Jimmy Fallon connection, that none of NBC's owned
why wasn't
cable
it,
channels
yeah.
wanted
or
to
Or why
have
wasn't it.
It
paired with Hollywood Game Night?
Yeah, it yeah. would be. It's very Ooh. Hollywood Game Night-ish in the good and bad senses of the yes. word. The judging is a little suspect. There's a lot of people turning their backs when they're supposed to be lip syncing. But, you know, that's me being a stickler and not going along with the fun of it. Typical me.
Yeah. And loser of the week?
Loser of the week, I hope, is the measles. Granted, it's SVU and all that that implies yep. and just says outright, but they're taking on anti-vaxxers next week. And
sure.
I
this week
cannot
on Wednesday.
Wait. Sorry. As we record this week. Yeah. So, yeah. Last week's Rolling Stone
UVA.
Rape case. Mm-hmm. Yeah. UVA case. Take ripped from the headlines was inelegant as usual, but sometimes that's called for, and I think in this the case of this particular issue it is called for.
Agree.
Guys, you know what time it is?
Regulation game
time to jump out of a plane.
It is regulation game time. It is not time to jump out of a plane. But let's
Will
be real,
touch
or currency before. All right, this is the first game time of the season. Tara, congratulations on winning last season's game time.
Congrats, Tara.
Thank you.
Today's game time comes from none other than Daniel Rogge.
Oh, dun, dun, dun.
Formerly known as Dan Blau, a.k.a. DJB. Today, he brings us Purple Monkey Dishwasher.
Go on.
In Purple Monkey Dishwasher, you will be given a simple log line of a popular television show filtered using an online translator through 43 different languages before being translated back into English.
Amazing. God.
All right. All of the answers are scripted shows. No reality, no game shows.
Got
okay?
it. Yep.
There are no hints. If you get it right, you get 2 points.
Nice.
However, here's the DJB spin.
Yes.
The twist. If you get it wrong, there is a steal option.
Oh.
The person whose turn it is gets it wrong. The person with the fewest points can steal.
Oh.
All right.
I like
wow.
it.
Wow.
So if they get it right, the stealer, they get 1 point.
Nice. Oh,
there are 63 questions and a tiebreaker. Let's throw it to Picky to see who's going to go first.
We will start with Tara.
All right, we're going to start with Tara. And Tara, mm-hmm. when you keep score,
yes.
please just have who is in last place at hand.
Okay.
And just let us know when that changes so that the person who's in last place knows that they can steal. Make sense?
Okay, yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. Are we ready?
What's the rest of the order?
Oh, Tara, Sarah, and then John.
All right.
Okay.
And they're scripted shows from all eras, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's it. All right. Are okay. we ready to play Purple Monkey Dishwasher?
Yes.
Kind of?
All right, kind of. All right, so Tara,
yeah.
this is round one. Everybody's going to get a couple gimmies.
Okay.
Round one, Tower of Babelfish. Here we go. In the country, most people are struggling to manage a legend about a dragon.
A legend about a dragon.
Yeah.
Is it Game of Thrones?
That it is. Good for 2 points.
Okay.
Sarah D. Bunting.
Yes.
The girl whose role it is to kill the underworld, which is a risk factor for life and good friends.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
That is good for 2 points.
Sure
John
was.
Ramos. Eastern yes. city politics fills with corruption and both sides not drunk are right.
I'm sorry, could you repeat it? I lost.
Eastern city politics fills with corruption. And both sides not drunk are right.
Both sides not drunk are right.
Yep.
I don't know.
Okay, so we have a tie.
Well, John is in last place.
So, yeah, so, but it
like
goes
to try
to
steal for your, from yourself.
It goes to the lesser person, but you, okay. You're tied, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll just call this one for
okay,
now.
Okay, all
right. That was Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, sure.
Both wouldn't sides. Have guessed
oh, okay.
that.
Right. Not drunk.
All right, back to Tara.
Yep.
Congress doesn't work. Sneaky, sneaking wife. Dirty betrayer, revenge man.
Congress doesn't work.
Sneaky, sneaking wife. Dirty betrayer, revenge man.
Sneaky, sneaking wife. Is this House of Cards?
That's good okay. for 2 points. All right. Sarah.
Yep.
This is already one of my favorite games ever. It is recommended fourth that all young people must live on the Upper West Side. Oh, sorry, Upper East Side.
Okay. Yeah. All young people, it Upper East Side.
It is recommended fourth that all young people must live on the Upper East Side.
Must live on the Upper East Side. Friends?
John.
I'm sorry.
John gets it.
I yeah. didn't know it. Sorry.
You didn't know it. Okay.
Yeah.
My mistake. I got to use that little twist. The DJ, DJB twist. All right. Here's our last of the easy ones. This is for John. Beautiful female gossip with copulating or not. And that's because some olds find new ways to use it.
Copulating?
Yeah.
Is that what you meant to say? What'd instead I say? Of copulating?
Copulating. Yeah.
Believe it or not, I lost a word in there. Could you
beautiful female gossip with copulating or not. That's because some olds find new ways to use it.
Okay.
Beautiful female gossip.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Copulating, I would think, is probably the key word, but I don't know it, obviously.
Keep in mind, according to Dan, these are the easy ones.
Yeah!
All right. So, that was an exciting first round. Let's get the scores.
Okay, Sarah and John are tied with 2 each. I have 4.
Okay. Round 2, eat poop, you cat. For Tara.
Yep.
Sales of frozen pizzas in 1999 with Fusion 1000. Sales of frozen pizzas in 1999 with Fusion 1000.
No idea.
That's a log line from what?
I do not know. All so right. Either of them can steal.
All right.
How does this work?
First person to shout it out. Both get a guess, but whoever, if somebody shouts it out first, they get the point.
Okay.
Two guys, a girl, and a pizza place.
Both said the same thing. Both wrong. That was Futurama.
Oh, okay. Futurama. Frozen and pizza. I get it.
Yeah, and yep. 1,000. Yep.
Right, of course.
All right. To Sarah. A member of the family to the extent that this is a serious problem. In the man and in the woman, it is not a secret event.
In the man and in the woman, this is not a secret event.
Yeah.
Remember the fit alias.
I like that guess.
Who gets the steal?
John.
Can I hear it again? Sorry.
A member of the family to the extent that this is a serious problem. In the man... And in the woman, it is not a secret event.
I don't know. Full House?
Transparent.
Oh.
Transparent.
Oh. Okay.
All right. So this is John's question, right?
Yes. Way overthinking these.
This information, back a few years, now with cigarette, director prepares for a personal question. This information back a few years, now with cigarette, director prepares for a personal question.
The X-Files?
All right,
Sarah
steal.
Can steal.
Mad Men?
Nice!
What?
Everyone.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, Tara.
Yes.
My best friend was dead, and the living sheriff solves crosswords in the Kingdom of Poseidon.
Oh, Veronica Mars!
Neptune.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
Nicely done for
2
points.
Very nice.
All right. Sarah.
Yeah.
Spy and education play a role in protecting against higher software.
Alias?
Nice.
Good for 2.
Nice.
All right, John. In the list of names of people who want to ignite the fire in the infamous, there is nothing but the crew and more.
Enterprise?
Steel.
John is in.
Who's the second?
Sarah.
Sarah.
May I hear it again, please?
In the list of names of people who want to ignite the fire in the infamous, there is nothing, nothing, nothing but the crew and more.
Nothing but the crew and more. The Love Boat.
This is not for any points, but is it Firefly?
No, it's The Comeback.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the crew.
Okay, okay.
All right. Remind me whose turn it is, please.
Me.
Tara.
Yep.
You are an agency of global crises with unqualified staff. With highly unqualified staff, I am not a traitor, but the royal often screw each other. You are an agency of global crises with highly unqualified staff. I am not a traitor, but the royal often screw each other.
Better off Ted.
Steel.
John.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
So oh, close. I like that guess.
Archer.
Oh, oh, Archer.
Yeah. Good guess.
Dude, I would have gone with 24. Interesting.
Nice.
All right, Sarah. Sarah.
Yes.
The head of the family... What? All right. The head the head of the family and the breaded butler, widow of not president, daughter of the object. All right. Let me read that again for you.
What?
The head of the family and the breaded butler, widow of not president, daughter of the object.
The breaded butler?
The breaded butler.
Charles in charge.
Steal time.
John.
Breaded this butler.
This can't be right, but Mr. Belvedere.
No, I thought you were going to say...
What? Benson?
It's Benson.
Oh, no! Benson. Damn it.
Damn it.
All right. This is for John.
John. Modern... John, here's yours. Modern gold rush. Ready to work with good people. At least I'm sure it will be a success. Years, years.
I missed the first word in there. Sorry.
Modern gold rush.
Modern gold rush?
Yep. Okay. Modern gold rush, ready to work with good people. At least I'm sure it will be a success. Years, years.
Oh my God. No idea. The Street?
Steal.
Sarah can steal.
The Apprentice. Oh, there's some reality
catch
shit.
Fire?
Oh,
well.
It's close. Silicon Valley.
Oh.
All right. Back to Tara, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Warmly clothed, but the level of education and intelligence and social business networking is a must for the police for 20 red years.
Fargo?
There's a hint in there you missed.
Okay, John Steel. Can steal.
Warmly clothed, but the level of education and intelligence and social business networking is a must for the police for 20 red years.
I'm sorry, I have no idea.
Red is the clue there. That's
is it the Americans?
Blacklist. The Blacklist.
Oh, the Blacklist.
Yeah, oh, red.
Blacklist. Yeah. All right, number 17.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
For Sarah, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Balance in life between the father of the infrastructure of the club and motorcycle engine.
Sons of Anarchy.
That's good for 2 points.
Nice.
All right, John.
Yes.
A false alarm from a wealthy family as a rule. Problems in the family, ice cream booth.
Arrested Development.
Nice.
2 points. Yep. All right, Tara.
Yep.
The widow and the neurosurgeon in the city where he lives with his two sons of the mountains.
Neurosurgeon, two sons. Grey's Anatomy?
Steal time.
John?
The widow.
One more time, please.
Yeah. The widow and the neurosurgeon in the city where he lives with his two sons of the mountains.
The Hills?
That is Everwood.
Oh, it's
oh
right.
Yeah. All right, so this is whose?
This is to Sarah.
Yeah, okay, Sarah. The girl in the street, again and again and again, including witnesses of the same suicide, you see. The girl in the street, again and again and again, including witnesses of the same suicide, you see.
I really don't see it all. Fringe.
Not a bad
John
guess.
John can steal.
John.
Flash forward?
That is Orphan Black. The girl in the street again and again and again.
Right, yes.
Yeah. All right, this is...
For John.
For John. Finding extraterrestrial life in Moscow in the family of love. Love, love, love. I love cats.
The Sarah Bunting story.
Finding extraterrestrial life in Moscow in the family of love. Love, love, love. I love cats.
Oh my God.
There's a good clue in that one. There's also one thing that makes no sense to me for this show.
It's such a word salad. It's amazing. I don't know.
All right. I get a chance to steal.
Wow. All right.
Is it Alf?
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Who's this for, please?
This is for me.
It's Backstage Bravo Nights of Comedy, participant in Live Saturdays.
Saturday Night Live?
You forgot scripted shows only. Steal.
John can steal.
It's Backstage Bravo Nights of Comedy, participant in Live Saturdays.
Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip?
It's the other one.
Damn it.
Yeah, good guess, though. All right.
For this, Sarah.
Sarah, if the psychic waitress has the sale of the Strange World of Horror in Southeast Lands in the box, good luck.
Is good luck part of it?
Yep.
Okay.
If the psychic waitress has the sale of the Strange World of Horror in Southeast Lands in the box, good luck.
In the... Oh.
I guess psychic waitress is probably the closest thing to a clue in that.
Southeast. And yet... Psychic waitress. Alice?
John can steal.
I've never watched the show, so I have no idea if this could even be right, but Medium?
Nice.
True Blood.
Oh right.
True Blood.
Oh. Right.
Those jerks.
Oh, I never watched that.
Okay.
This is for John.
Thank you. John. Mom, quickly to the edge. We all realize that in order to succeed in life after the death, trapped in this smoky area.
Area.
All right. I'll read that one more time for you. Mom, quickly to the edge, we all realized that in order to succeed in life after the death, trapped in this smoky area.
No idea.
Sarah and I are tied.
So all right, so first one to shout it.
Sarah. Oh,
no, it doesn't matter.
Oh.
Shout.
Smoky United States area. Of Tara.
Wrong. Tara, you got one guess. Gotta make it quick, though.
Alice!
Mom, quickly to the edge. After the death, smoky area, weeds.
Oh, smoky.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. This is
Tara.
To Tara. Mm-hmm. Dinner with family is great and big sales. When the string is connected to Hamburg, that's the town, It is best songs. Dinner with family is great and big sales. When the string is connected to Hamburg, it is best songs.
Smash!
Steal time.
John.
John. Got a guess?
Glee?
The city was Hamburg, but the show was Bob's Burgers. Thanks, okay. Translators.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Sarah, right?
Yep.
Yep.
This is a very good restaurant and very quickly absorbent. This is a very good restaurant and very quickly absorbent.
Very
this is a tough
quickly
one.
Absorbent. The place with the restaurant. Slap Maxwell's.
What? John can steal.
Alice.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh.
All right.
For John.
John, this is the kind of agent investigating the death in the city of two tops at the most.
Boom, chicka, where?
I'd watch that show.
This is the kind of agent investigating the death in the city of two tops at the most.
Two tops at the most. Nope, not a clue.
All right, Sarah and I are still tied.
All right, shout them out.
Twin Peaks.
One point.
Hey.
All right, so this is...
to me.
Two women, the coordination of hysteria, and work given small, small period of time. Two women, the coordination of hysteria, and work given small, small period of time.
Gilmore Girls? John can steal.
Nope.
Broad City. Broad City.
Wow. Right.
All right, Sarah.
Coordination of hysteria. Interesting.
All right, thanks, Vicky. For Sarah.
Yep.
Once married eldest women who live with other people. Sweet cakes, fun, great.
One more time with that.
Once married eldest women who live with other people. Sweet cakes, fun, great.
Sweet cakes.
Sweet cakes.
Eldest women.
Golden Girls.
Nice.
Good points. All right, for John. Women are victims of the end of the world. My prayer, my prayer. My life began again.
Women are victims of the end of the world?
Women are victims of the end of the world. My prayer, my prayer. My life began again.
Nope.
All right, I get to steal.
Yep.
Big Love?
Right Path, sort of. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right.
Okay, so everybody's last question before the next score break. So this is for Tara.
Yep.
The show is what it is.
Seinfeld?
All right. Sarah.
Me.
Rich is survived by his wife and five daughters, all who live in a castle. Rich is survived by his wife and five daughters, all who live in a castle.
All who live in a castle. Interesting. Once upon a time.
Good guess.
John can steal.
John can steal.
Rich is survived by his five daughters, all of whom live in a castle.
Yep.
Nope, got nothing.
Just fucking rags to riches.
It is fucking rags to riches.
Oh,
no.
Sorry.
All right, last question before our score break. This is question 33.
Okay.
Because of a small group of people is not interesting for a legend, old enemies allowed the destruction of the colonies. Is this right? Is it your turn?
Yeah.
Okay.
Turn? Okay, John can steal.
I need it again, please. Sorry.
Because a small group of people is not interesting for a legend, old enemies allow the destruction of the colonies.
Was it the not interesting part that made you guess turn, Tara?
Maybe.
The Walking Dead?
Battlestar Galactica. The colonies. The colonies.
Wait. Why did it come back to me if now it's a score break?
That's what I asked before.
Okay.
It seemed kind of weird, right?
Well,
you're first, right?
You should have had a score break after John, probably.
I probably should
have. So you dropped a question.
Well, whatever.
Point.
Let's just do it.
All right. Score break. John has 4. Sarah has 9. I have 10.
All right. Just let me quickly go past, make sure I didn't miss any of these. No.
I think you can give John one and then go back to me and then give John one. I think you just skip John.
Oh, John.
Well, we all went in the right order. It's just he forgot to call for the score break at the right time, I think.
Oh, okay.
That could be.
Never mind. Ignore me.
Let's just go with that. Round 3, Super Karate Monkey Death Car. Here we go.
For Sarah.
For Sarah. An Amy series of famous divorce man, the two young girls. Okay, so an Amy, as in the name, series, and that's hyphenated, an Amy series.
Okay.
An Amy series of famous divorce man, the two young girls.
The two young girls. Amy series. Kate and Allie.
John can steal.
This one's Gilmore Girls.
No. That's what I thought too.
No, it's Louie. Louie.
Oh. Okay.
I think the Amy series is some terrible translation. All right. So this is now whose?
John.
John. John.
The stories of those after being arrested with a lot of leaves. The story of those after being arrested with a lot of leaves.
Orange is the New Black.
That's good for two. All right. Tara, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Need to get a grip on life after all the 19 years in Georgia. The issue of trust is in this area.
Is this The Walking Dead? Shit. John can steal.
Need
Rectify.
To get a... That's good for one
oh,
point.
Oh, nice.
Rectify.
Nice. Yep. Nicely done.
All right.
19 years. Got it. Yeah.
Right. Oh, of course.
Okay, Sarah.
Yep.
If a Democrat crane, after 2.5 centuries, always has a secret, this led to the creation of the father. Okay, if a Democrat crane, after 2.5 centuries, always has a secret, this led to the creation of the father.
Yeah, it makes as much sense as the show did. Sleepy Hollow.
Yep.
Nice!
All right, Tara. Yep. No.
No,
John. The former and future of the United States, it is assumed that everyone will be careful, except they're always not. Oh, I'm sorry. Except always they're not.
Oh, yes. Really change that's it. The yeah. critical difference.
Yeah.
The former and future...
Pardon me?
Sorry. Go ahead, Dave. Yeah.
The former and future of the United States, it is assumed that everyone will be careful, except always they're not.
No, I got nothing on this one.
Okay, I get to steal. Is it Star Trek? Shit.
Veep.
Oh, okay.
Veep. All right, who's this?
Me.
Fatigue and weakness leads to copulation by 16 years of age.
Skins? Okay, John can steal.
Oh, no. We broke Sarah.
Just, of course, Skins is a good guess for a roguey game, I would say.
All right, John, got a guess?
No, I don't. But...
Is it the In-Betweeners?
It is Gilmore Girls.
Oh, damn it.
All right, Sarah.
It is for Sarah.
Yep.
All right, this is a tough one. Back to school days of receipt. Where will he be? Her brother, her sister, so far south of Minnesota. Back to school days of receipt. Where will we be? Her brother, her sister, so far south of Minnesota.
Fargo?
Okay, John can steal.
So far south of Minnesota.
Back to school days of receipt. Where will we be? Her brother, her sister, so far south of Minnesota. For 1 point, what's that show?
I haven't a clue.
Oh, boy. Very disappointed in all of you. Tara, do you know what it is for no points?
No.
It's a little show called Beverly Hills 90210.
Oh, damn it.
God damn it.
Restless Ghost of John Sears has blighted our has blighted our fortunes.
All right, John, here's yours. Comedy.
Wait, who was that for?
Wasn't that Sarah's?
Yeah, I guess Fargo.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it's John. Sorry. Yeah, yes, this is for John.
Comedy vagina around 20 years because of the end of school. Comedy vagina around 20 years because of the end of school.
Oh my God. I don't know.
Who's stealing?
Me. The Mary Tyler Moore Show?
Girls.
Oh, God.
Girls.
It's really more like tragedy vagina, no?
All right, Tara.
Yes?
Four young friends and their vegetables, Irish bar.
It's always sunny in Philadelphia.
Good points. All right, Sarah.
Yeah?
Heroes find their place in this world to learn how to use an external power source, which is good for solving common problems that affect the life of a teenager.
Heroes?
That's what I thought. John can steal.
Can I hear it one more time? Sorry.
Heroes find their place in this world to learn how to use an external power source, which is good for solving common problems that affect the life of a teenager.
Roswell?
Smallville.
Oh.
Wrong town. All right. This is Sarah.
It was
right?
Dan. I thought for sure it had to be Roswell.
No, that was Sarah. No. So this is John's.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, John. Son of my father, the best friend of the four, say this inspiration was a long, long trip for you.
Say this inspiration?
Son of my father, the best friend of the four, say this inspiration was a long, long trip for you.
Fuck it. Roswell.
Sarah can steal.
Best friend of the four. Long long trip for you. Heart of Dixie.
Yes.
How I Met Your Mother. I Met Your right. Mother. All right, Tara.
Yep.
The doctor and police, the killer, who said he wanted to keep the city and the punishment at the same time.
The following? Okay, John can steal.
Sorry, I need it one more time, Dave.
The doctor and police, the killer, who said he wanted to keep the city and the punishment at the same time.
Gotham?
That was my second guess.
I'd have gone Dexter.
Yep, it's Dexter.
Oh, nice.
Good
yeah.
job, Sarah.
Okay, whose is this, please?
Sarah.
It's for me.
That was what we just said. Very happy to see it's this sad way in California. Who is a member of a noble family of the color black? Very happy to see it's this sad way in California. Who is a member of a noble family of the color black?
Black. Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Nice. What? How is it not that? I thought for sure that's what it was.
It's not that?
I'm shocked. John can steal.
Wow, can I hear it again? I thought that's what it was, too.
Very happy to see it's this sad way in California. Who is a member of a noble family of the color black?
Sad way in California.
I could totally see why you thought it was that.
Shit, I don't know.
6 feet under.
Wow. Oh.
Yeah. All right. This is John, right?
Yep.
Believers and atheists, too strange and hard to understand, but I'm trying to find out the secret power you should avoid.
Secret power.
Believers and atheists, too strange and hard to understand, but I'm trying to find out the secret power you should avoid.
Constantine?
Sarah can steal.
Miracles.
The X-Files.
Oh,
all right, this is Tara's?
Yep.
Ambitious students and Professor Crime, rights and responsibility to change the group of the research and development.
Obviously. Is this Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Okay, John can steal.
How to Get Away with Murder?
Nice!
Nice!
Very well done. All right, Sarah.
Yes.
Are there people who live in the White House?
Oh, my God.
The West Wing?
Nice.
Good for 2 points. All right, John.
But you didn't answer my question. Are there?
If I die... If you know what music is, and not to the kingdom of God, martial alarm.
Martial alarm?
Yeah.
Okay. If I die...
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's not. Hang on. The font's also going to make me... Let me read that again.
Was that...
Let me read it again. Yeah, no, I made a mistake. If I die, if you know what music is, and not to the kingdom of God... Marital alarm.
Oh, marital alm.
Yes.
Marital alarm.
That's a big difference.
Still don't know. Still don't know. Joan of Arcadia?
It's to me to steal. Mad About You?
If I die, die. Okay, that's one thing. Music, marital alarm, empire.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
Of course.
I totally forgot who's... Okay.
Me.
Okay, to Tara.
Yep.
What I see is high-intensity surgical grace, which is open till late.
ER? Okay, John can steal.
Can I hear it one more time, Dave? Sorry.
What I see is high-intensity surgical grace, which is open till late.
And Tara said ER?
Yep.
Chicago Hope.
Grey's Anatomy.
Damn it!
Yeah. All right, to Sarah.
Yep.
Two of the younger, a fat man with a spoon. For the first time, it could be friendship, though I hope to have a successful business if you don't get the money.
May I hear that one more time,
oh,
please?
Yeah. You betcha.
That'll help.
Two of the younger, a fat man with a spoon. For the first time, it can be friendship, though I hope to have a successful business if you don't get the money.
But don't get the money. Modern Family.
John can steal.
Felicity.
Two broke girls.
Oh.
Two broke girls. All right, John. There is a difference in the city for good Indiana society.
Parks and Recreation.
Nice.
That's good for two. Back to Tara.
Yep.
This dream world of Heart Hospital and an intern's education of drugs and friendship.
House? Okay, John can steal.
In
Scrubs?
Yep.
Nice!
All right. To Sarah. Press from too moral a point of view, and the results are surprised that you need to do a lot of changes, if any. Press from too moral a point of view, and the results are surprised that you need to do a lot of changes, if any.
Do a lot of changes, if any. The newsroom.
What?
Thanks, I was gonna
Sorkin.
Guess that too.
Nice. Everything.
Lee done.
All right. That was nice. All right, John.
Yes.
Okay. More about what happened after drama in a musical scene, man.
Is this Smash?
Nice.
It is Smash. All right. And this is to Tara.
Yep.
We did screw up one. I'm missing one thing. All right. So let's do our score break now, shall we then?
Okay. I'm in last place with 12. John has 13. Sarah has 15.
Ooh, this is a good game.
Yep, very good.
All right, so everybody has two questions left then.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. For Tara.
Yep.
At least after the first war, the whole staff family, a few years ago. At least after the first war, the whole staff family, a few years ago.
This is obviously not it, but Homefront. Okay, Sarah. John can steal.
You overthought that one, John.
Agent Carter.
Oh, good guess.
At least after the first war, the whole staff family a few years ago. Downton Abbey.
Oh God.
Oh,
no.
Right.
Sarah.
Yeah, I guess.
Yep. So.
Excellent repetitive past celebrities, and now they have to go to school. Excellent repetitive past celebrities, and now they have to go to school.
Now they have to go to school.
Community?
John can steal. No, wait, I can steal.
You
Clone
can
High.
Steal.
I think you can, Tara, yeah.
Clone High!
Nice!
Correct. Oh, duh.
All right.
John.
This is John's.
Yep.
The teacher is diagnosed and is a student of medicine, and together they sold food.
Sold food or sold. Stole food?
Sold.
Okay, sold food.
Okay. Sold food.
All right. The teacher is diagnosed and is a student of medicine, and together they sold food. Yeah.
House?
Heart you of steal. Dixie?
Mm. Incorrect, Tara. It was Breaking Bad.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Last questions, right?
Yep.
All right. Tara.
Yeah.
Yes. Unfortunately, one of the four students of communication in a hazardous area from the smallest Colorado.
Is this community?
Mm.
All right. John can steal.
Let me read that again for you, John. Yes, sure. Unfortunately, one of the four students of communication in a hazardous area from the smallest Colorado.
Oh, God.
Tara's kicking herself.
Yes,
this is
I
kind
am.
Of an easy one.
It is.
From as small as Colorado? Colorado?
Smallest, yep. From the smallest Colorado.
Four students.
Got an answer?
No, afraid not.
South Park.
South Park.
South Park.
Yeah.
All right. Sarah. Ladies, it is now necessary to protect his family back to the business of the company required to execute the law.
Okay. Yep.
All right, John and I can each have a chance to steal.
All right. Fire away. Ladies, it is now necessary to protect his family back to the business of the company required to execute the law.
Designing women.
Incorrect. Now we go to the steal.
It's me or John.
Yep. Ladies. It's a tough one.
Yikes.
I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
That is The Good Wife. All right. So here's our last question for John, but let's get a quick score.
All right, John and I are tied with 13 each. Sarah has 15, so John needs to clinch this in two to tie Sarah.
Oh, all right.
No pressure.
No pressure. John, in Baltimore, if you go to the doctor, you know I'm not a cop.
The Wire.
All right, that means it is time for a tiebreaker, and I have two.
I am out of it.
Tara is out of it. All right.
All y'all.
Are you ready?
Oh, man.
First person to shout the answer correctly gets it. After you shout one, you can't shout another until your opponent has answered. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Here we go. It seems pointless details even to start a hurt, but it's not the child's fault.
The slap.
That is correct.
I had it. I had it coming.
Sarah. Yes. At least that show was good for something.
That was a super fun game.
That was great. Thank you, Dan.
All right, everybody.
Oh, man.
That is it.
Great job, Dan.
For another episode of Extra Hot Great. We all grew out our period-appropriate mustaches for the first of the back half of the last season of Mad Men, End of an Era. And speaking about creepy things, Liv filed her face-off report on the evil living doll episode. We went around the dial with stops at The Slap, Game of Thrones, Musician Docs, and the Chronic Reboot Syndrome. And, get this, John successfully pitched us Oz's capital P for the canon. We crowned winners and losers of the week, and Sarah was the winners of this week's and season's first game time. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. All right. Thanks, Dan. Remember, this is we had about 7 technical issues today, and I'm kind of feeling it. Remember,
we're listening.
I am David T. Cole, and on behalf of Tara Ariano,
let's go to Paris.
Sarah D. Bunting,
groovy,
and John Ramos.
I hate to tell you, I'm notoriously hard to please.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
That's what she said.
We'll see you next time.
Lay up.
Right here on Extra Hot Great.
When we'll be jumping out of a plane.
In fact, he'd been terrified of the very notion of prison since, as a young boy, he accidentally watched HBO's Oz, mistaking it for the classic Judy Garland musical.
Eat it, bitch!
I knelt beside it and I held its head and I whispered, "I'm sorry." Then, like batteries going bad, the light in his eyes flickered a little bit. And and went out. For the next 2 years that we were married, every time I walked into the den, I had to stare at that fucking deer's dead eyes. I had to dust them.
I'll fix that.